Would you look at that?
Wink, wink.
Well, John, let me tell you, we are live on the internet. This will be on the internet. So everything you say will be going out to millions and millions and billions of users. And apparently India is bigger than China today. How are you this morning and this evening and this afternoon?
Great. Now, how do I turn off this stupid filter? No, that's not it.
All right, John, welcome to another episode with Cronus. This is the Musicians Insider, but today we will be talking all things ChatGPT and what you've been up to lately. So tell me what you've been up to and how you maybe could pass along some information to my viewers that would be beneficial to them, but then also just tell me what's going on. I want to hear the update.
A selfless promotion plug on people interested in subscribing to my Patreon channel, patreon.com/JD Crunch Time. Go there to watch some of my firsthand videos with people like Steve Wozniak, the Homebrew Computer Club Reunion, and a whole bunch of other really cool things back in the computer days. End of self-promotion. Now let's talk about ChatGPT. All right, when I first got access to ChatGPT, it was ChatGPT 3.5. It was really difficult getting on ChatGPT because it was so crowded all the time. It was always, the servers were always in use. But whenever I first got on, I said, this is interesting. Let me see if I can write a little program to display an image on a Mac, on an iPhone or something. And it wrote the code. And I tried it out and it worked.
Oh my God. That's cool.
And then I decided, well, let's see what else it knows how to do. I asked it to print the first 50 Fibonacci numbers in fourth. And it wrote a fourth program to print the first 50 Fibonacci numbers in fourth. I said, next time I want you to write C. And it writes it in C. Next thing I wanted it to do is to write it in Python. And it wrote it in Python. I said, wow, this is really cool.
And how was the code?
Code was perfect. I mean, it was very simple little routines that were not very complicated.
Yeah, I've done a lot of content output to HTML in seconds. It's so sweet.
And I started using it to compose GoFundMe. I used it to compose my compositions to post to GoFundMe, and then I asked it to give a tweet, asked it to post to Facebook, and on important emails, I'd also ask it to compose the content email message. And I said, wow, this is cool.
So good for social media and for things to do with updates and for writing better product descriptions and Shopify SEO related. It's really good for SEO.
So then I had to go to get an endoscopic done due to some stomach problems I've had.
This is the internet we're on. Let's keep it to a level where we don't need to give too much detail.
No, I'm not. And it gave me basically three things that were wrong with me. I typed them in to ChatGPT. It came back with all the different things that were wrong with me. It gave me medication information. It gave me all the information. At the very end, there's a little disclaimer paragraph at the very end that says, you always must go seek the opinion of a doctor. So it said, this is what we got. And at the very end, it says, just remember, you must always go by the advice of your doctor. Then later on, I was given a list of medication. So I typed in the list of medication. and it gave me back all the information on the medication, side effects, how often I should take it, all that stuff. Showed it to the doctor, and the doctor was just amazed. Doctor didn't even know about it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So maybe we can play with ChatGPT a bit on this call, where I'll open it up and we can ask it a few things. But I'd love to hear, maybe you could just tell my audience a little bit more about who you are, because some people don't know who Captain Crunch, John Draper, is, how much you know, and who you were involved with early on, and what kind of stuff you've got going on. I'd love to introduce you a little bit here. And then maybe after they watch the interview, they can help with your GoFundMe and understand things like the Captain Crunch whistle was written in that book. It was one of the keys in Ready Player One, the book, which we went and saw the movie together in Vegas, the new one that didn't have the key in
Beyond
it.
The Little Blue Box. Beyond the Little Blue Box is the name of the book. It's out currently. You can get a copy of it, signed autographed copy from eBay. And I'm doing some YouTube videos on my life, little selected videos of people that I met. And some of them are relatively famous. I'm right now working on a deal where I'm talking to the author of Tetris.
Oh, wow.
I was basically, I got gone to, went to Russia in 1989 to the projects of Planetary Peace. And they would pair me with a programmer. They had plumber to plumber, programmer to programmer, whatever, based on their skill sets. And I did that. As far as who I am, I'm basically Captain Crunch. At least I got the name from the whistle, which is out of Captain Crunch cereal box. And you blow the whistle and it emits a very notable frequency that can control the telephone company switch back when the phone company switch was analog. Since that time, all of the calls were pretty much done automatically now and electronically. And there is even a way to do that currently. I posted an article in, I think it was Steemit, but I'm not sure, on the vulnerabilities of SS7, Signaling System 7. That's the system that currently was used for cell phone and all that. And I talked to the person in Germany who broke into the system. And it's possible to get, once you get the phone number, get their location of the phone number, where it's located at. And you could do all kinds of very nasty things and very magical things with the phone system. But since that time, they've all filtered that out now and you can't do it. But in my article, I showed how to find the listeners to at least test the filter to see if it's filtered. And you can, if it's not filtered, then you can get into it.
And it's true that you did work with your friend Steve Wozniak prior to Apple, right? You and him did some cool stuff. And
yeah. Well, basically what happened there was one of my friends, Alan, who was in KPFA Berkeley, ran across this guy at UC Berkeley who built a blue box and invited me to come down and take a look at it.
Was he blind? Is this the blind guy?
No, Steve Wozniak.
No, oh, okay.
And so I went down and saw Steve and visited him and a few other people. Bill Claxton was another person that was in a dorm. You will see him on my Zoom call recently on my YouTube channel. Bill is now currently in Singapore, and he also participated in the Zoom call that I had with Steve and Randy Wigginton and Lee Felsenstein, all the original homebrew computer people in that Zoom call, and it's on my YouTube channel. So I might add that my YouTube channel is youtube.com/@ JD Crunchman 999 999 39, and that will give you and that'll get you into my YouTube channel.
Perfect.
The 2600 hertz tone was used to switch, grab control of the switch, which would then drop me into a trunk, and then I had to use a blue box to key in the key pulse area code number start, and that would then route the call. I'm actually thinking of releasing a blue box program for the iPhone.
And how would it work? Is it an app?
An app. Yeah, it's an app on the iPhone. I think you're actually doing it. I was actually going to ask ChatGPT to write the code for me.
Why don't you just tell it to write the code for you?
Well, yeah, I could do that too. Well, but I haven't done that yet. I've still got some stuff to do here. So
what are some of the things that you're excited about for the future?
Well, AI is definitely the big thing. And I've been writing ChatGPT APIs, using ChatGPT and not just using it over the web, using it through an API. Because I've got an API key from OpenAI, and I'm using that API code or API key to create some AI functions to do that. I'm working with another person who is using it to administer a Linux system.
So for example, if we wanted to make a website that is called If We Were Seinfeld, and we wanted to just have it so very simply, you just put in a couple fields of your friends and your information, and then it generates a Seinfeld episode using ChatGPT, but based on just a few things, that'd be very easy to do with this type of OpenAI.
Well, many people have done that. You could take it, sketch it on a napkin, and scan the image through the Stable Diffusion application, and take that image, and it's a sketched website, and it will create the website from the sketch.
Brilliant.
Yeah, websites can be done in seconds now with, you know, OpenAI. It's crazy. I mean, the problem is now it's gotten the AI releases right now have just gone viral, just crazy, and they're actually thinking of having a moratorium on halting or slowing down AI development to allow people to catch up to it. Still unregulated, no regulation on it whatsoever. So lawmakers, of course, are scrambling to try to figure out how they can regulate it. And nobody knows what's going on.
This evil clone army is being made as we speak.
It's like the wild, wild west right now in AI. It's crazy.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's used everything. You know, I can just, you know, like I was just interested in certain things, and I just ask ChatGPT, comes back and tells me what I want to know.
What are some things that are maybe musicians and my viewers could use ChatGPT for that would be helpful that they may not have thought of that you know about?
Write a song. Have it write a song.
And okay. So when you say that, what does the prompt look like for that?
Well, you could write a song about certain thing. You can write a song about your girlfriend, write a song about whatever. Write a song about, and it will actually write a song.
Oh, I
and
know.
You could put music to it.
You can put, write a song in the style of one of the seven biggest Michael Jackson hits. And when it's done, it'll sound like a Michael Jackson hit.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fucked.
Yeah, that is fucked.
Because I don't want that song now, but at the same time, you could just do that, not tell anyone, and just change it up, and now you're...
It's a completely disruptive technology. Schools and universities now are just, they don't know what to do.
All prompt students prompt engineer jobs. Climate jobs, yep. Prompt engineer jobs. That's it. Everything else is out the window.
It's all prompt engineering now, yeah, absolutely. And so what, like right now, for instance, Intel has banned the use of ChatGPT on their campus. In other words, you cannot use ChatGPT from Intel. You can't even do it on your phone. In other words, they will not let you bring your phone into the Intel campus now. So they don't want you to use ChatGPT. The reason why is security.
Are you familiar with the fact that there's now standalone versions of similar chat AI bots that people are fully installing and running locally?
I saw two of them in the last 2 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't have them off hand.
I think they're about 32 gigs or something.
Yeah, one of them is, I just recently.
So, like, let's talk for a second about, you have a book out called Beyond the Blue Box, but you also have a GoFundMe page that I want people to go and fund you. So what is it you're getting funded?
I'm funding my, I've asked for $25,000 to cover my medical expenses.
Mm-hmm. So help Captain Crunch people. He's a well-known guy. He's done a lot of cool stuff. If you're seeing this video, please give him a bit of love with the GoFundMe. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Can you please, Crunch, please give me a few more uses for ChatGPT in the world that my viewers may find interesting?
I can't think of any. I mean, everything that I can think of is spot on.
Well, things like, I use them for Twitter posts. I use them for social media. I use them to write my YouTube short captions. I use them to write my Shopify product descriptions. What else do you use it for?
Oh, I use it to plan my day, plan my week.
Okay, and that's something people don't know you can do. So how do you, what's the prompt look like?
Well, first of all, there are certain restrictions of what I can do because I'm in this group home.
Okay.
So I have to be able to, schedule around certain things that happen here. I've got to schedule around my doctor's appointments. And so I enter in the dates and times of my doctor's appointments, the dates and times of when I have to take a shower, my meals and stuff like that. And then I have so many hours left over that I could do for like programming, working on, you know, ChatGPT or just, you know, working on my YouTube channel, because I've got a lot of video editing to do, and so I have to plan how much time I need to use for editing, how much time I use for vocalizing on my YouTube channel.
Have you tried asking ChatGPT how frequently you should be posting and what type of content in order to grow your YouTube channel?
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the time.
So one of the prompts that I've watched is, tell ChatGPT, I want you to be the best SEO consultant you can be. You say that right to ChatGPT and say, now please give me, you know, and you give it a bunch of competitors, you give it a bunch of keywords, and you say, and then you tell it to output this into a grid and a chart format that's easy to read and is very simple about what keywords you need to go after first, and it'll do it.
Yeah, you're right. It'll do it. And so you could ask it to, plan a vacation. You can ask it to say, well, I've got a certain budget. I can't go over this budget. And I want to plan a trip, and I would like to go here, here, and here. Is it possible, based on the cost of gas, the mileage you have to travel, et cetera, et cetera? Remember, ChatGPT only knows things up until like 2019 or something like that. After 2019, it doesn't know anything. So but there's Bard, bard.google.com. And it's like ChatGPT. It also does coding. I just got accepted. I applied to get on there. I just got on the waiting list, and I got an email message just recently telling me that I can. There you go. And so there's another AI called Bard. Okay. Google.com.
How is that? Do you like it?
I haven't played with it yet because I, I I didn't have access to it. But my friend Sean did. And we were playing with it the other last night, and it was crazy. I mean, it the thing with bard.google.com is it's not capped at 2018, okay? It's up to current. It's up to current.
That's cool.
Current. You can, and it does code too. It'll write code for you. It's quite good. And it's Google. It's Google's AI. And they just came out with it recently. They are restricting usage of it. You have to apply. You have to get on the waiting list to get access to it. I filled out the forms for getting on the waiting list yesterday, and I got on the waiting list today. So amazing.
So here's what I did as a just I went plan me a great vacation that includes Los Angeles, Hawaii, and Cuba. And here's what it said. Here's a great vacation, including that day 1 to 4 is Los Angeles. It says explore Hollywood Walk of Fame, the Chinese Theater, and then day 2, Griffith Observatory, Universal Studios, and then the beach at Santa Monica day 4, and then Hawaii. Fly right to Hawaii to Honolulu. Gives you the Waikiki Beach, surf lessons, North Shore, Diamond Head for breathtaking views. Maui, and then it says Cuba, fly to Honolulu to Havana, 4 days in Cuba. It gives you old Havana, you know, the beautiful, basically the main places, and then that's that. And then I said, now include everything with a flair for Star Wars. So it starts over, you're in Los Angeles, but it says if you're a Star Wars fan, you have to check out the handprints of George Lucas and Mark Hamill at the Chinese Theater. Okay, that's not very much, but that's interesting. Don't forget to visit Universal Studios Star Wars. Interesting. Anyway, so you can suddenly, now it's got spend 8 days in Maui, and you can also recognize some of the landscapes from The Force Awakens. So I love that you can just throw in something weird like Star Wars to it. What's an example here we can try that's kind of bizarre? What's something we should ask it?
Hold on, let me think.
How can we get more people to John Draper or Cap'n Crunch's GoFundMe page? Share on social media. Oh, that's just going to give us generic how to get GoFundMe stuff. Interesting, though. Anyhow, so yeah, people, if you're on,
wow, meet that. Utilize influencer marketing. Oh, that's interesting. Copy and paste that. I want that. No, copy the prompt too.
I will. Oh, yeah. I got to put it in the chat. I'm putting it into itself. That's going to really confuse everybody. Sometimes I'm pretty good on the screen, but sometimes I'm not. Okay, so the prompt I said was, how can we get more people? Yeah, there we go. And you might want to tell them who you are too a little bit in the prompt, right? Okay, yeah, so that's cool. Yeah. ChatGPT, what's another thing? So like, for example, in ChatGPT, something you can do is...
a fundraising event.
Give us some outside of the box, but cheap and results driven ideas for GoFundMe campaigns for John that will help his medical bills. He's a famous hacker from the 70s.
ChatGPT knows about me.
This isn't the new one. This is the old one. But it says digital treasure hunt you could do, where participants can donate a small fee to join and follow clues to uncover digital artifacts related to John Draper's life.
Try number two. I actually posted on Twitter a Zoom ID on Twitter that I would ask questions about the things. And guess how many people showed up? You would be very surprised. Yes. Zero. Exactly.
It's because nobody knew it was happening. Maybe we could say on when I post my podcast here, we can tell people that, hey, John's going to be doing a Ask Me Anything on this date and time. Also, remember, you're in California where it's still sunny there. We got snow hitting the ground right now. It's late here. So anyway, all right. Well, I'm going to kill that. That was interesting. It's always fun to be able to mess around with new technology with you, John. Music wise, have you been using it? So, you know, ChatGPT, you can tell it to create a song, and right. I've done this, just testing it out.
Actually, my friend,
it'll write the notes.
My friend, John Sherman, wrote a funk song about me. I don't know. I'll have to post a link to it in the comments if I can find it. But it's a rap song about me. Okay.
I wrote a song today that I'm trying to collab with someone not using ChatGPT, and then I threw it into ChatGPT and said, "Can you clean this up and make it look professional?" And they'll save it in Word, and it did.
Did it look better than it was when
it made verse, chorus, verse, and it put like when I wrote it, put the titles and stuff for me, cleaned it all up nicely. But I'm not using ChatGPT to write my music. I'm writing my own music.
Why not?
Not yet, because I don't need it yet.
Well, that's true. But you can.
I bought a new PA speaker. It's next to me here. But my mic is on top of it. But I'll show you the top part of it. It's one of the column speakers. See that?
Wow.
So this is the top.
How's the sound quality?
It sounds incredible. It's just a PA system, and it's much better because I run karaoke on Saturday nights locally here. And I used to use a bass amp and a treble amp that's external speaker to it, so that would cover the spectrum of the audio. But it was really heavy and clunky, and it was just older. And using this setup, it's...
Do you have an internal battery?
It's plugged into a plug to the wall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be... I don't care about being portable. It's portable to an extent, but you still need power. But it's an entire PA system that is a size like this. It's an Evolve 30M by Electro Voice. And I'm pretty stoked, Evolve. I might need to get you to sponsor me too. anyhow.
Yeah, I'm trying to reach out to the retro community, retro computer community, in the sense that, you know, Apple II users, Amiga users, and Atari users, people from the old computer days, because I've got a lot of content that I could, a lot of stories that I could tell.
Tell me about Atari. I've never talked to you about Atari before.
Well, I didn't do anything on Atari that much.
Well, what did you do?
I was in Germany a lot, and they used Atari systems there, and they used Pascal, of all things, on Atari systems.
Turbo Pascal or just Pascal?
I'm not sure.
I had to learn that in college. Lame.
But while I was there in Germany, this was like in 1989, and this is during the wall, during the time that Germany opened up the wall. And I was in Germany at the time that the wall opened up.
That must have been something.
Yeah, and this is going to be in one of my YouTube programs coming up.
Great.
Probably going to be... I'm going to start editing it as soon as I get more content. And I've interviewed Arkady Rakowski, my Russian guy. And so I got those interviews in the can. And I got one more interview to do for a German person. Get that in the can. And I could start editing that together into a story about the opening of the Berlin Wall. I was standing on the Berlin Wall waving at the CNN cameras when the wall opened up.
Are you on CNN? Can you see yourself on CNN?
I couldn't see myself on CNN, but I knew that there was a lot of cameras out there.
I bet you if you went back through the footage, you might be able to find yourself. Maybe get ChatGPT to find a video of you.
Yeah, and so I didn't want to hang around West Germany, so what I did was I dropped down on the other side of the wall, in the East German side,
Of course you did.
Bumped around in East Germany and met a couple people there. I met a conscript soldier there, one of the guards there. And he gave me a piece of the wall. I have a picture of him handing me a piece of the wall. I wish I could find that photograph because I certainly want to make sure I put that in my video.
Do you have the piece of the wall still?
I came back with 40 pounds of the wall, but I don't, you know, I started giving away pieces and, you know.
Here's some rubble. Thank you. Here's some more rubble.
A little luggage bag. I can't go through the border. I said, what's in the bag? And I said, it looks like a bunch of rocks. And I said, yeah, it's a Berlin Wall. So it was pretty funny.
That's epic, and dude. So,
yeah. And so after dropping on the other side of the wall, everything was just chaotic. There was no government, no police. It was totally anarchy. So I wound myself, I found myself running into some other German people that spoke English. These are East German people. I said, what's interesting? You want to go into the Stasi headquarters now? It's open. Sure, let's go. So we go into the Stasi headquarters in Germany. There are no police. Everything was open. We ran through everything. And there was all of the government offices were just open. You could go in, you could mess around. There's no police, nothing. Total anarchy.
Wow.
It was craziest time. People running around doing whatever they wanted to do. And it was absolutely amazing.
Could I get you to tell us a little bit about, I love this story about when you were in the Air Force and how like you accidentally drove down that road.
Oh, what are you talking about? The which one?
Yeah.
I was on vacation in 1962.
So yes, where were you stationed in the 60s?
I wasn't stationed anywhere. This was in 1962. I was in high school.
Okay.
I was in high school hanging out with a friend on vacation. We went to Lake Mead in southern Nevada. We were driving up northern Nevada on Highway 95 or whatever it was, highway, you know, north-south in Nevada. This was like, we left really early in the morning. We left about 3 o'clock. We were about, we were in a pickup truck, in a 1957 Chevy pickup truck, hauling a trailer. So we were not going very fast. We heard on the radio that there were going to be a nuclear test in the Nevada desert, in the Nevada testing thing. So I didn't realize how close I was. But what happened was they closed the road behind us. We'd gotten past the checkpoint. We were going slower than normal. So when it went off, we couldn't have been any closer to the ground zero blast at that point. We were direct line of sight to the fireball. And, you know, covered my eyes like this. I could see the bones in my hands because the light was so bright. And I was sort of like partially blinded for a while. It was just that intense. Car stopped immediately. There was no power to the car. Turned out that it fried the ignition in the car.
It's like an EMP bomb.
Yeah, exactly. EMP stopped the car. And so we had to wait for road service to come along. And eventually somebody came along and gave one of us a ride to the gas station. And we had come back with a tow truck to get the car towed to get it fixed. And the entire electrical system in the car was completely fried.
What happened? I don't know.
Radio stopped working. It was just a big blap. And all of a sudden, the car just crackled, popped, and it was dead. Nothing. We had to wait for like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours before we could go.
But you said when it actually hit, the shockwave was pretty powerful.
The shockwave was almost knocked our trailer over. Yeah, luckily we had parked it in an area where we were kind of almost head on to the shockwave. Had we been broadside of the shockwave, I'm pretty sure it would have tipped the trailer over. You see it coming, this big wall of dust coming toward you, you know?
That's crazy. I can't even imagine. Did you, you knew what it was, but you didn't know how close you were.
Yeah, well, we figured we were about 30 miles away, and it was a small tactical nuke, luckily. It wasn't one of those big, you know.
Just a tactical nuke, you know, one of those small ones. Not a big deal, you know.
Yeah,
I'm picturing the beginning of Indiana Jones 4, that Crystal Skull movie where he jumps in the refrigerator to avoid it because he's on the testing range.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good movie, the new Indiana Jones. But let me see here. So, man.
When's it coming out?
I don't know. Soon. You know that new, remember that bike you were driving, the Tesla bike you had at Burning Man? Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, the guy who owned that bike, his name is Mikhail, and he was from Russia. And when he brought the bike over to the United States, he wouldn't let him bring in a battery pack that was much better than the battery pack that was in there. So he had to put a battery pack full of regular wet cell batteries. So it really wasn't that good power range, but it had a lot of range, and I could pretty much go anywhere I wanted to in the playa.
Dude, that's
2 speeds.
When was that? Like 4 years ago?
Whenever it was at Burning Man. Yeah, you were there, right?
Yeah. It was not very, I'm just for my audience, this guy was at Burning Man like 4 or 5 years ago, flying around in an electric.
You were at the skate park, right?
Yeah, skate camp.
Yeah, skate camp. Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so so it was a 3-wheel bike. Oh, there you go. Yeah. And it was a 3-wheel bike. And it was quite nice.
It was fast. It was like fast, like electric torque fast.
Yeah, it would accelerate like you wouldn't believe. Yeah.
Impressive.
I had to be kind of careful. And there's a lot of people around. I always put it on slow speed when I was like, you know, around a lot of people. But once I get out into the deep playa, out away from the camp, you know, I could pretty much open it up. But still, there are so many people out there that don't have lights. And it's so annoying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that was my biggest complaint, was that nobody would.
Dark turds.
Yeah, dark turds. Yeah, that's it. Dark turds. I remember that now.
I stopped riding bikes. I just rode the hoverboard.
Yeah. What do they call trash?
My computer is on it.
Yeah, what do they call the trash thing? Your trash bag. What do they call it? There's a name.
The trash fence.
No,
you're talking about
moop.
You're talking about matter out of place. Moop.
That's it. Moop. Matter out of place.
Of course I know this. I was the what do you call it? LNT lead for skate camp 1 year. That's leave no trace.
I have so many videos of Burning Man, but I can't publicly show them.
Who gives a shit?
I've so many videos.
Why can't you show them?
Because of copyright.
From who? Burning Man?
Yeah, they would sue me if I showed any of those.
I don't know. I think there's a fair use clause that you can go with for some of it, depending on what you're posting these days. Look on YouTube. There's a lot of videos posted. I would see what other people are doing before you worry too much about it. I used to be super worried about posting anything at like in 2011 or 12, but everyone films everything all the time.
I'd have to screen the videos. I might have to blank out the faces of the people that are too close to me. You know,
we don't show people naked, but otherwise, who cares? Otherwise, it doesn't matter. I think as long as you're not making someone like, you know, sometimes there's people walking around with clothing on they don't want their boss to see. But like at this point, who gives a shit?
Most of the stuff I was taking pictures of were the art cars at night.
I have some crazy video too. Insert clip. Anyway, so John, Really nice to catch up with you. Let's have a phone call offline in the next couple of weeks, or less, in the next week or so.
Please like and subscribe to this YouTube channel, and don't forget to go over to my channel, okay? YouTube.com/@JDCrunchMan999. That's my YouTube channel, and my Patreon channel is patreon.com/JDCrunchTime. And don't forget, the stuff that's on Patreon will always be first. Then after about 2 weeks or so, then I'll put it up on YouTube if it's worthy of being up on YouTube.
And do you have any
YouTube's got
music on your,
the
do you have any music uploaded?
I get my music from the what's it called? Something sound I forget
SoundCloud.
it. No, it's a Epidemic Sound. I buy a royalty to use their sound. I go in and pick the music that I want. So I got the music that I come is from Epidemic Sound.
Do you put it on
I get a
your YouTube
lot.
channel?
I have a license, so
But
I
do you
put it
actually
on my.
put, oh, okay, so you can use it for like background music for everything.
And then I give the creditor, to the sound musician and stuff at the
But
end of my thing.
you've made your own songs before, and that's what I was just wondering if you uploaded any of your
No,
own music.
I haven't made my own music yet. I'd like to. I just haven't had.
And I couldn't not ask you that being on the Musician's Insider, because if there was anything, if you have any advice for musicians, what would it be?
Don't know, man. Just get out there and make the make get out there and make the songs and make it go viral, I guess.
Is there a black hat way to do that?
Good question. I would say get it out on YouTube first of all, because YouTube's got a very wide audience. You'll have the rights to it, so you know anything you have the rights to. If you created the song, it's your song. You have the rights to it, so you go out there and you put it up on YouTube to plug the heck out of it on social media and Twitter.
I recently heard a trick where you make the YouTube video private, send tons of traffic to it from any source. It doesn't know where it came from. As soon as you turn it public, it'll rank for the title of the keyword.
Make my YouTube channel private.
No, just the video per on a video basis, per video basis. This is a tactic I was told by someone.
The video private,
You,
right?
and then you send traffic from any source to it, thousands of views from like Fiverr. And then afterwards, when you make it
So I
public,
thought
no, you
whatever,
keep the
on my.
YouTube private and you send it traffic privately until it has a lot of traffic. How do you do that? I don't know. There's a million ways to do that. And then when you go public, it'll rank for the keyword in the title of the video.
I
It's a
want to
trick.
consult with you on that.
Well, I'd like to see
Yeah,
you test. I'd like to see you test that, because I know that you're into shit like that.
I would be happy to test it, because I've only got about maybe 30 subscribers right now. So subscribe to my Patreon. That's how I get my money right now, is through my subscribers. I mean, I'm barely eking by. So by all means, go down, click on that link below, and subscribe to my Patreon,
All
and
right.
that can really come out, guys. It really would.
Well, thank you, John. It's always great to speak to you. Captain Crunch in the house. And this has been another episode of the Musician's Insider. And I'm Cronus, and we will talk to you again soon.